Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
Good morning and welcome to The River Trip, your monthly show here on KSJD. We are talking about rivers as we normally do, and today we're going to talk about the Gold King mine spill up in Silverton area in August. We'll start that here in a minute with Peter Butler. First, some news. Last month in southeast Brazil, a dam burst, unleashing a 50 million ton spill of toxic mine waste. 13 people died, 19 are missing, and 75 are injured in this dam spill. Drinking water has been contaminated for 250,000 people. The dam was part of a mining operation owned by BHP Mining Company. BHP states that the mine waste poses no threat to humans. The Brazilian government has fined BHP and is suing the company for the spill. In New England, boaters are pressing government groups to re-examine the impacts of dams on boating on the West River in Vermont and the Deerfield River in Massachusetts. Both of the rivers have had their natural boating flows eliminated by dams. Boaters believe that flows can be generated to provide recreational opportunities while still meeting the needs of dams. Flows in the Dolores River at the town of Dolores have frozen up, according to the USGS gauge, as it is registering ice. A visual check on that Dolores River into town suggests that maybe it's about 100 CFS. Flows out of McPhee into the Dolores River are just below 31 CFS. The film, River of Sorrow, being produced by Dolores River Boating Advocates about the Dolores River, will have its public debut on January 15th, 2016, in Dolores at the Dolores Community Center. You can go to Dolores River Boating Advocates. That's actually DoloresRiverBoating.org to learn more and donate to the film. So here is our regular show. On the show today, we have Peter Butler. Peter is the coordinator of the Animas River Stakeholders Group based in Durango. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. So, Peter, would you tell us about where the Gold King mine is, when it was in operation, and what was being pulled out of that mine?
Sure. The Gold King is up in the kind of upper reaches of Cement Creek up above Gladstone, which is just a little ways past the ski area, the Silverton Mountain ski area. The Gold King is a pretty large mine. It was last really in full production in the late 1920s, although there was exploration done in the 1980s, and even in the little bit in the early 1990s, there was a little bit of work in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in August of this year, August 2015, there was a spill estimated around 3 million gallons of mine waste. That mine waste dumped into Cement Creek up there at Silverton, flowed into the Animas River, then the San Juan, and eventually into the Colorado River corridor at Lake Powell. Why did that spill happen?
Well, it was as is true with many mines, there was a blockage in front of the mine. The entrance had collapsed because usually that's the area that has to be shored up in most mines because it's kind of loose rubble, and it had collapsed since the 1990s. And the Gold King is a mine that puts out quite a bit of very nasty mine drainage, anywhere between 70 and 250 gallons per minute, depending on the time of year. And it was a site that we had hoped we would like to see some work done on it. And EPA has been doing quite a bit of work up there in the upper Cement Creek area. They wanted to open it up to see if there were ways to reduce the amount of drainage that was coming out of that adit is kind of the portal, the tunnel. Let's see if they could reduce the drainage coming out of that adit. And we all wanted to see it opened up and explored to see where that water might be coming from. Unfortunately, when they did it, they didn't. They knew there was some water behind the blockage. They didn't realize nearly how much there was. And so when they started opening it up, there was a lot more water than they realized, and they weren't prepared to handle it, and out it came.
Mm-hmm. Simple enough, and not that simple.
It's pretty simple. You take an excavator, and you pull out some rubble in front of an area that's blocking up a bunch of water, and it's going to come out. And so that aspect was pretty simple. It also washed away quite a bit of the mine dump that was right in front of the Gold King as well.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this happened in August. There was tons of news around it, national news. I was actually kind of surprised how far the news went. And it was just kind of this, kind of an accusatory tone to it, and just this awful, awful spill happening. And certainly it didn't look very pretty, and it seemed pretty scary. And there was a lot of fingers being pointed in terms of who was responsible for the spill. And I feel like a lot of those fingers were pointing at the EPA. I've also heard people suggest that it's not the EPA, but it's the mine owners, the mining operation that was going on years and years ago that's at fault. I think there's fingers we could point in lots of directions. So I'm just curious from your standpoint where you might point fingers as a group.
Well, first of all, the Animas River Stakeholders Group tries not to point fingers. That's part of our what we do is we don't assign blame to how different discharges occur. However, in this case, EPA has owned up that they released all the water. They could have potentially drilled from up above the bulkhead to see how much pressure, drilled down into the mine workings and see what the pressure was. That's been done at several other mines in Cement Creek before. It's not an easy place to get a drill rig in, but it's possible to do, and they just kind of made a judgment call not to do that. Mm-hmm. And as a result, the water was released, and 3 million gallons is probably if you take a football field and cover it with 9 to 10 feet of water, that's about 3 million gallons.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, folks out there in radio land, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to The River Trip here on KSJD. We'll be right back with more conversation around the Gold King spill. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The River Trip here on KSJD. I am your host, Sam Carter. We are speaking this morning with Peter Butler of the Animas River Stakeholders Group out of Durango, and we're talking about the Gold King spill into the Animas River drainage this past August. Peter, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks.
We were talking about kind of where that blame lays, and I like the idea that you guys avoid the finger pointing, and also I think it's good for the EPA to own up on some of that stuff. What I want to know, what was the fallout of the spill? You know, that $3 million, 3 million gallons. If it was dollars, we'd probably be in the river. But it was 3 million gallons of spill came down the river. What did that do to the water quality, to political action around this, to citizen awareness?
Well, it had a lot of different impacts. From an ecological standpoint, it didn't have very much impact. The plume came down, and by the time it got down to Durango, of course, the color was certainly caught everyone's attention, and that's mostly iron and aluminum oxides, which aren't particularly toxic. The question was what else is in there that might be toxic. And the plume, when you look at the actual data that was taken, the plume came through Durango in about 12 hours, and it was at night. Actually, it came through at night in 12 hours, and so that's when the big slug of metals came through. However, the color stayed around for, you know, a number of days, 4 or 5 days at least. And the other issue is that when you take water quality samples and you're looking at metal concentrations, it takes several days to get the data back. So nobody knew what was in the water, and I think that perpetuated a lot of the fear of what might be in the water. When we look at the impact on the ecology there, the fish and the aquatic insects weren't really affected at all by the plume, I think partly because it came through so quickly. There were some high concentrations of lead and arsenic, but again, it was so fast that it didn't have much ecological impact. From the political side, of course, the media onslaught was just incredible. I probably, my wife logged about that I had well over 130 phone calls in about 4 or 5 days from different news outlets. And we fielded hundreds of inquiries about what was going on and what happened. The overall impact, it certainly got congressional attention. There's been efforts to pass some different bills because of kind of the notoriety of the Gold Kings bill, dealing with amending the mining law, 1872 mining law, and promoting a Good Samaritan legislation, which would allow third parties that don't have a role in those certain mines to be able to come in and clean it up without fear of liability. There's certainly a lot of efforts behind those. I'm not sure they're really going to go anywhere. Congress, you know, has a short attention span, unfortunately. And so I don't know if there's much impact from a federal level. Mm-hmm. In terms of the impact to dealing with the mines in Silverton, it had quite a bit of impact. It's influenced certainly the San Juan County Commissioners and the Silverton Town Council. And they have now decided that they're going to pursue discussions with EPA about a Superfund site in the Upper Animas Basin. The big question will be, what will it cover? I think everyone thinks that the Superfund designation would cover the upper area around the Gold King and the Cement Creek area. The question is whether it would be much broader to cover a lot of other areas in San Juan County, and I think that's where the discussions are going to get interesting.
So the spill that came out of Gold King was 3 million-ish gallons of toxic waste. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to say toxic, just of waste. But you've told me that annually there's 300 million gallons of leakage coming out of these mines.
That's approximately right. And that's just in this area around Upper Cement Creek. 3 million gallons is a very small percentage of what goes into the river annually. Now, that 3 million gallons probably had a higher concentration, and of course it was a big slug. But compared to what enters the Animas annually, it's just a drop in the bucket.
So that leakage that comes out, is that toxic? Is that harmful to the aquatic life, the riparian zones?
It tends to be harmful to – it's certainly harmful to aquatic life. It's not particularly harmful to people. The concentrations aren't high enough that there's much of a human health impact. That's one of the issues people have been concerned about making it a Superfund site, is because there isn't much human health impact, that it wouldn't rank very high, and it would be deemed a Superfund site, but there wouldn't be any money coming this direction. I think that attitude may have changed just simply because of the notoriety of the Gold King and the fact that EPA caused the spill. It's much more likely that it would end up ranking higher on the list.
So has the Superfund site been decided that that's going to happen, or is that still in discussion?
It's in discussion. I'm fairly confident that it will happen in at least Upper Cement Creek. Now, whether or not it'll be broader or not, we don't know. And the EPA and the State Health Department have promised that it would not include the town of Silverton, and that's been a big concern for people in Silverton.
Why would it not include, and why is that a concern?
The reason it's a concern is people are worried about the negative aspects of a potential Superfund designation. It might affect people's ability to get loans, to sell property. Could affect maybe the tourism economy there. It's not known that there's any problems in Silverton. It's possible that there might be some soil areas that might have high lead or something, but those can be handled in different ways other than Superfund. And again, it hasn't been shown that there are problems in Silverton anyway.
So I guess in a technical manner, when we're talking Silverton right here, we're talking Silverton within the municipal boundaries.
That's correct.
Because when I think of Silverton, I think of that whole upper mountain area that's so fun to be in. But that's not what you're talking about. So if a Superfund site happens, it's in the county outside of the town boundaries, and Silverton wants it that way.
That's correct. So the town, when I say Silverton, I'm referring to the actual town.
Okay.
And San Juan County refers to everywhere else that people like to recreate up there.
So, was the Gold King spill a big deal? Does it matter? Was it as much hype as we made it out to be?
I think from the media standpoint, it was not nearly as big a deal. We know of at least four other spills or mine blowouts that have occurred in the past 20 years up there in the Silverton area. They weren't as big and didn't get as much attention as this one did. I remember about 12 years ago, I was driving over Red Mountain Pass, and there had been a really heavy rainstorm. There had been mudslides, actually, on the highway. I had to kind of dodge rocks on my way down the road. And the river looked the same color as it did with the Gold King spill up there in Silverton. And the next morning, that reached Durango, and everyone looked at it and said, wow, that's an interesting mustard color. I wonder where it rained last night. And that was about all that happened. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the reason it got the notoriety was partly because it was EPA's work. And we just live in a time where it's something that gets around the world a lot faster than it used to.
Has it changed the ability? Has it changed your group's ability to get things done?
It hasn't. At this point, it hasn't. A Superfund designation will make a difference, because once that occurs, it's really in either EPA or it could be the state of Colorado. It depends on which agency takes the lead. It can be kind of in their. It's in their court. And so they'll have a much more of a role than we will. So it could definitely have an impact on how we operate. On the other hand, we have a hard time addressing draining mines. We've done a lot of work with mine waste piles, but draining mines, there's liability issues associated with those, and we've been unable to address most of the draining mines up there in the Silverton area because of these liability issues.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that wraps up our show today. We really appreciate you coming in and talking about this and helping us understand this. If people want to learn more about your work, where can they go?
We have a website, the Animas River Stakeholders Group. You just Google that and move around on that website. There's a lot of data and a lot of information for people. We're a fairly technically oriented group, and so that's what we focus on, and it makes it easier to kind of get along with a lot of different entities and factions who have different ideas if you focus on the data and the work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thanks so much. Again, folks, my name is Sam Carter here on the River Trip, and we've been talking today with Peter Butler, the coordinator for the Animas River Stakeholders Group, about the Gold King spill, the fallout, and what's coming next. Join us next month here on what will be called River Radio, changing our name, and we are going to discuss the release of the film by Dolores River Building Advocates, the film being The River of Sorrow, about the Dolores River. So join us for that. Today's show has been produced by, you know him, the immortal Tom Yoder. Thanks so much for tuning in. It is polar bear season on the Dolores River, so go for a swim. Be safe. Talk to you next month.